Great music this morning. I got to say, when I have to come up here and read, I get a little anxious at times, but by the time we get done with singing, it usually kind of calms me down. So, okay, our scripture reading today is Psalms 116, and that is verses 1 through 19. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the end of the living. I believed when I said, I am gratefully afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, I praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these words this morning, Lord. We just pray for open hearts and open minds today as Pastor Craig delivers a message. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brad. Continue our series here through the Psalms. Within the midst of this psalm, Psalm 116 is one of the most powerfully revealing sentences, really, in all of Scripture, because it reveals the incredible value that God places on the lives of His children. It's verse 15. Look at it again. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Your loved ones? Okay. I think a lot of translations read that word saints, but this entire psalm really it revolves around this one line. Because everything that the psalmist says in this entire psalm, he says because of this one truth. The fact is, we as God's children are precious to Him. So this one line is going to be our focus this morning. For this one line speaks volumes about our God and His love for His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, contrary to popular belief today, saints are not a special class of believers in God. Okay? Saints, as Scripture defines them, are any and all people who have trusted in God for salvation from sin. That's what a saint is. All right? So if you have placed your faith in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, and the Lord alone, you're a saint. That's how the Scripture defines a saint. You are a child of God, and that is who is spoken of in this verse. We also learn here that precious are they. We learn here that, saints are precious to our Lord. And that word precious speaks of something that is very costly. Perhaps was even acquired at a great price. And is therefore very valuable to the possessor. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that's you. That's you. You are precious. I mean, think about our own children, okay? Think about our own children and how we value them. It never ceases to amaze me just how in tune a parent can be to their own children because they are precious to them. There have been times right here at church, whether it be an event or a potluck or whatever it is we're doing here, typically as soon as the kids are done eating, they will leave the adults and go in the other room and start playing. But something I've noticed is the instant that one of the kids over there scream or begin to cry, all of the parents, their ears perk up, right? And they're waiting for that second scream, that second cry to identify if it's their children or not. And then as soon as that happens, the right parents go in. The other parents also identified, oh, it's not my kid, so I can go back to eating, okay? But our children are precious to us. And the Lord's children are precious to Him. And therefore, He responds when they cry out. He responds when they are in danger. He responds when they are in pain. And He responds when their life is on the line. Because verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I have had the opportunity to sit at the bedside of saints as their death appears to be drawing near. And I have used this verse right here to encourage them and really remind them of just how precious they are to the Lord. He cares about what you're going through right now. And that is exactly the purpose for which the Lord Himself, I believe, inspired this psalm. While this song does revolve around the possibility of death, this is not a song of sadness. This is a song, really, of celebration and encouragement. And for the benefit this morning of our encouragement, in those troubling times of life, we're going to see the ways that God responds to those who are precious in His sight. Our subject this morning is when saints hurt. Verse 15 is going to be our central focus. We will be looking at other verses within this psalm. But the very first way the Lord responds when His precious saints are hurting is the Lord sees. He sees. He sees everything. There is nothing that we can go through or are going through that escapes Him. He sees it all. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now we live in a curious age, in that hardly a move that is made in the civilized world goes unseen. There are video cameras everywhere. In fact, there is an estimated 30 million video surveillance cameras set up in the United States alone. And they are shooting about 4 billion hours of footage every week. All right? There are satellites satellites orbiting our Earth, photographing the world in such high resolution that from orbit they can see and identify items as small as 5 inches in diameter. A face, okay? That's how powerful they are. Widespread surveillance. And while it is a little bit haunting to know that we're being watched like that, that kind of surveillance has resulted in the saving of lives. Thousands of lives, in fact. Babies rescued because of a video baby monitor. Little kids who fell into surveyed swimming pools rescued. Victims of crimes received their justice. People in peril receiving help, all because they were seen in their need. During the time of Abraham, back in the book of Genesis, Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, was cast away by Sarah into the wilderness, basically to die, left to die. But God saw her in her need. He spoke to her in her need, and she called on him. Get this, she called him, this is the name that she gave God in the wilderness as she was left to die. You are the God who sees. She was seen in her need. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He sees when his saints physically die. In fact, it is he who actually appoints that time. And that's going to be a factor in a few minutes as we look at another way the Lord responds. But just know, he sees when his saints die, but he sees also when his saints are dying. He sees and knows exactly how many breaths we have left. He sees and knows exactly how many more times our heart is going to beat. He sees and knows how many more minutes our soul will be connected to our body. He sees when his saints are dying. And then he also sees when his saints are in danger. You see, all of these are included in that verse 15. He sees when his saints are in danger. The point being, the Lord is well aware of everything every one of his saints are going through. Every sadness, every trouble, every trial, every challenge, every sickness, every single danger. The Lord sees it all. He's well aware. We are under his constant surveillance because we are precious to him. We're precious. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." And that's really speaking of both the good ways and the bad ways. But either way, he knows exactly what's going on. Hebrews 4:13 says, "There is no creature hidden from his sight." The Lord sees, and with that, that's just the beginning here, okay? The Lord sees, but with that, the Lord sympathizes. He responds in sympathy. He feels our pain. No matter what we're going through, he can feel our pain. Now, I'm not a squeamish person when it comes to seeing gory things. Okay, I can gut a deer with the best of them. If you had a wound, okay, it probably wouldn't bother me to see it. I have watched videos online of surgical procedures. However, I cannot stand to see pain inflicted. There are videos on YouTube of skateboard accidents, biking accidents, parkour accidents, gymnastics accidents, and I have found that they make me hurt. They're painful for me to watch. And as I see them, this sort of weird tingle shoots up my spine. And I can almost feel their pain. And by the looks on your faces, you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right? You've been there. And I think maybe part of it is because when I was younger, I had my share of skateboard accidents. All right? I had bicycle accidents. Never had a gymnastic accident. I was perfect there. No, never did gymnastics. Never did gymnastics. But I've experienced my fair share of road rash and bruising. And the instant I see it happen to someone else, I can immediately sympathize with what they're feeling right now. Even physically, when I see it happen to others. It hurts me to see others hurt in ways that I've been hurt. All right? There have been husbands so lovingly sensitive to their pregnant wives that when their wife began experiencing labor, they had sympathy pains. All right? Notice I say they. It wasn't me. Anyway. They hurt, but they hurt along with their wife. Well, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. It tells us that it hurts the Lord to see his precious ones hurt. Why? Well, the Lord can sympathize with pain. He can. And while I only exemplified physical pain in my illustration a minute ago, our Lord sympathizes with any kind of pain that we might be going through. All right? He can sympathize. Our Lord felt physical pain. Okay? Whether it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, he can sympathize. He felt emotional pain. He felt mental pain. Think about this. On the cross, he felt physical pain, didn't he? Before the cross, he felt emotional and mental pain in the garden as he anticipated what was going to happen. He felt the temptation of sin. He felt spiritual separation of sin as ours was placed on him. And for the first time in all eternity, he had to be separated, forsook by the Father. The Lord can sympathize with pain, and the Lord can sympathize with sorrow. As Jesus came back to Bethany to find his friend Lazarus dead, and Lazarus' sisters mourning his death, John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. As Jesus prepared to enter Jerusalem, knowing that sin would cause his own people to reject him, Luke 19:41 says, Jesus wept. Scripture tells us in numerous places that sin in our lives grieves our Lord. The Lord can sympathize with pain, he can sympathize with sorrow, and he can even sympathize with death. In Romans 5:6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Our Lord knows full well the pain of death. And while it is appointed for men to die once, it hurts. It hurts our Lord to see it happen to his saints because they are precious to him. Every pain we endure, every sorrow, every experience, every death of every saint hurts our Lord as well because he has experienced it himself. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest. And it's speaking of Jesus there. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin. It's comforting. It is comforting. It's encouraging to know that we have a Lord that can sympathize with us. He knows our pain and cares because we are precious to Him. Well, the Lord sees, the Lord sympathizes, and thirdly this morning, the Lord supports. He supports. Not only does He see our situation, not only does He sympathize with our situation, but He is ready to help. He's ready to help. Look at verses 3 through 5 in Psalm 116 there. It says, "The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful." He is there to help us in our time of need. My wife was taking out some trash to the dumpster here at the church. This was several weeks ago. And it was a windy day. And as she unlatched the 6-foot-tall solid steel gate of the dumpster enclosure and went in to throw the trash in, the gate blew shut behind her, latched, and locked her in. I know it sounds funny now, doesn't it? But there she was. There she was. And when she realized there was no way to unlatch it, and she's like 5'3", the wall's over 6 feet, there she was. She started crying out for help. Now, it was late on a Friday. There was nobody here. And she's in this dumpster bin hollering for somebody to come save her. And she, I mean, there's just tiny little cracks where she can look through. And she noticed out on the sidewalk a teenager. And she started sticking her hand out the crack saying, hey, I need help over here. And he came over right away and helped her. Now, I got to tell you, I know how I was in high school. And if I'd have seen that, I would have helped, but I'd have taken a little pleasure in it first. But he didn't. He immediately showed compassion and let her out. Now, my wife once also locked herself in Bob and Judy Marasco's bathroom at a ladies' luncheon. And she was beating on the door, hollering for help, and they finally came in and let her out. I'm starting to see a pattern here, though. We have patterns, too, don't we? I mean, we get ourselves into trouble sometimes, don't we? We fall into those same traps sometimes. And when we cry out to the Lord, He is there to help. Pattern or not, our Lord hears our cries. When we are sorrowed, when we're in trouble again, when we are sick, when we're in danger of even death, our Lord hears our cries. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears." The Lord hears our cries, but also the Lord has compassion. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you," or support you, really, in due time, casting all of your cares upon Him, whatever the cares are. Whether it be trouble that we got ourselves into or trouble that just happened upon us, cast them all upon Him. Why? The verse ends, "For He cares for you." He cares. He is gracious and rewards us even in times when we do not deserve to be rewarded. He is merciful and withholds punishments that we do deserve. Many of the trials, pains, and sorrows that we go through in life come about because of our own doing. We know it's windy. We ignore the danger, and there we are, right? Stuck in that situation. Some trials are not our fault, but many are. And even in those times, As we cry out to the Lord, He hears our cries and responds to us with compassionate support. He doesn't have to help us. Really, we don't even deserve His help. But because we are precious to Him, He supports us. 2 Corinthians 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort." That's our Lord. That's our Lord. The last way the Lord responds to those who are precious to Him is the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Video surveillance caught an unattended three-year-old boy. He was at a mall, and the video was on the escalator, and it shows him walking up the ledge. You know how there's the escalator, the railings, and then there's that small four-inch ledge that goes all the way up alongside the escalator. Well, this three-year-old got on that and started making his way up to the top. And he was almost to the top. He couldn't get any further, and he ended up falling head first toward the granite floors below. Well, there just happened to be a guy walking by and seeing this three-year-old just as he began to fall, and he literally caught him and saved his life. Saved his life. Look at verses 6 through 8. The Lord preserves the simple. "I was brought low and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Back in June of last year, a man leaving Six Flags Amusement Park heard cries from a 14-year-old girl who had slipped out of her gondola car. She was 25 feet above the parking lot there, hanging on for dear life. And this man and his adult daughter went over there, got under her, and caught her as she fell. They responded to her cries. They saved her life. Well, our Lord, He saves. Because we're precious in the Lord's sight. The Lord saves. And really, He does it in two ways. Here's how He does it. First of all, and we read this in our passage, it says He preserves bountifully from death. Now, we've talked about this before as it's come up in other Psalms. But as we, I guess, put it this way, we as God's children, we are invincible until the Lord decides to bring us home. He can preserve the physical lives of those who are His children. And that is what the psalmist is saying here. Because we're precious in the sight of the Lord, He preserves bountifully from death. But also, He pardons eternally of death. A pardon is the removing of a penalty. The freeing from a punishment. Well, death, Scripture says, is the penalty of sin. We have all sinned, every single one of us. We're all guilty. And the penalty of that is death. And typically, death in the Bible, it always talks about separation. Okay, there is physical death where our soul is separated from our physical body. But there is also a second death, a spiritual death in which we are separated from God forever. And we find here a pardon for the eternity. He pardons eternally for death. Listen to a couple passages here. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In John 8:36, Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Listen to how our psalm puts it. the end of verse 16, he says, "You have loosed my bonds." The Lord saves by preserving us bountifully from death, but he does it because we have been pardoned eternally of death. In Romans 6:22, it says, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." We can be pardoned eternally from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." In those few words, it depends on what translation you're reading there, but we're talking 18 words, Jesus effectively rules out every other man-made way, idea, and philosophy of getting to heaven and says, "I'm it. I am it." Jesus is God come in human flesh. He came for the purpose of showing mankind, "I am God in human flesh," and then dying to take the penalty for mankind's sin, so that if man will place his faith alone in Jesus Christ, he can have eternal life. He can become a child of God. In John chapter 1, I'll read it here real quick. John chapter 1, it says this. John 1:12. "But as many as received him," it's talking about Jesus here, "as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." That's who we're talking about today, right? Those precious in his sight are children of God, the saints. I'll read it again. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Those who trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for the pardon from sin's penalty. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world, he loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said in John 3:16. He came. That was one of the purposes for which he came. Have you believed? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? If you haven't, you can do that right now in the privacy of your own heart. Right now, just between you and the Lord, you can. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this, but right now in the privacy of your own heart, you can say, "God, I've never heard this before. I didn't even know that there was an eternal penalty for sin. I didn't know that's why you sent your Son." You can place your faith, say, "Lord, I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, and I accept, I receive his gift of salvation right now." And you know what? If you've done that right now in the privacy of your own heart, you have it. It is yours. In John 10:28, I'll read this one to you too. Jesus says this. He says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." You now belong to God. You're his child, and you, Psalm 116 says, are precious to him. It hurts him when you are hurt. You are precious to him. And those he saves, those who are saints, it cost him greatly. It cost him his Son. And therefore, we are very valuable to him. One commentator put it this way, kind of getting back on topic here, because Psalm 116 is designed to be an encouragement to those of us who are his children in those times of discouragement, in those times of pain, in those times of hurting and trouble and trial. those times even of death. One commentator put it this way. He says, because the Lord values the lives of his saints, he often spares them where others perish. They shall not die prematurely. They shall be immortal till their work is done. And when their time shall come to die, and again, this is the focus of our psalm, their deaths, he says, shall be precious. The Lord watches over their dying beds, smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, and receives their souls. Revelation 21:4 says that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's what the Lord offers us. That's what we have as his children. When saints hurt, the Lord sees, he sympathizes, he supports, and he saves. And that we can be encouraged, even in the most troubling times of life. That is why the author writes in verses 1 and 2 what he does. He says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, this has been a powerful passage for me, and I think for others as well. And Lord, we thank you for inspiring this writer to pen these words so that we can read them here today, thousands of years later, and be encouraged by them. Father, I know that there are people here this morning that are going through trials, going through trouble in their life, perhaps even physical danger, danger of death. Lord, thank you for caring. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for seeing us and offering a rescue. And we know, Lord God, that regardless of what we're going through, this life won't come to an end until you call us home. Father, I thank you as well just for the opportunity this psalm presented to share about your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I do pray that perhaps if there are some here that have never done that before, had never placed the full weight of their trust in you, that perhaps they did it this morning. They made that decision. And with every eye closed and heads bowed, nobody looking around, I just have a request that if there are some here like that this morning, that you would just, this won't make you any more of a Christian, this won't do anything for you other than let me know that you've made that decision this morning so that I can be praying for you as you begin your new life as a believer. But what I'm going to ask is if you have made that decision this morning, if you would just look up at me and make eye contact. I'm not going to point you out. I just want to know so that I can be praying for you. Anyone like that this morning, just look up at me, make eye contact. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else like that this morning? All right. Know today, those of you that have made that decision, you are now part of the family of God. And let's continue in prayer just for a minute. Father, I thank you for your word to us. It is powerful. It reveals a lot about us. It reveals a lot about you. And we thank you, Lord, for how precious we are in your sight. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this morning. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.